Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2022. On the program Monday, I touched on a very difficult, complex teaching subject, which has been a thorn in the side of many people for centuries. The question of why evil and suffering in the world, if there is a good, all-powerful God, why does he allow evil? Why does he allow so much evil and so much suffering? And I was talking about Iran and my Iranian friends, and just the entire situation for them under a dictatorship republic. Here is a people that desperately wants true freedom, like we have here. And they struggle every day under this dictatorship regime. And, of course, that led to the question from a Christian standpoint, why does God allow this evil? And I spent some time on Monday's broadcast. I won't do that today. Trying to answer that sometimes difficult, thorny question. Today I want to continue on the theme of this subject. And the reason I want to continue on this theme is there are many people, spiritual seekers, that have legitimate questions about this subject. And they're kind of sitting on the fence. They haven't become a Christian. They're very, very skeptical. And they have a lot of doubts. And sometimes the question of why God and evil is a barrier to them in becoming a Christian, in coming to the Christian faith. And so I want to try to answer those questions that might be bothering you or them and try to give them answers as to why God allows this. We have to come to this subject with great humility. We don't come to this subject with our fists raised and with our anger and all of the things that would make it not a very good way to handle a difficult topic. So if we're spiritual seekers and we want some answers, we need to come with a humble, teachable spirit to this subject and listen to the reasons why, the evidence from philosophy and theology as to why does God allow so much evil and suffering in the world. Now, here to help me do that this morning, along with some things I'm going to read and talk to you about, is a man who was a giant in apologetics, a great thinking Christian. Now, he's no longer with us. He died a few years ago. He's with the Lord now, and his name is Norman Geisler, and he wrote several books on this topic, and he appeared on the John Ankerberg program to discuss the whole plethora of the subject of, if God, why evil? And so this morning what I want to do is play a couple of sound bites for you so you can get an understanding of his thinking on this topic. And we're going to listen to a man who has studied extensively on apologetics and philosophy, and he has what I think are some of the best answers to this complex and difficult issue. Now, a lot of people, when they see evil in the world, they're trying to grasp, well, what is evil? Is there a God if there's so much evil? And by the way, didn't he just create evil if there is a God? And so Norman Geisler is going to tackle that particular question right now. So let's listen to his answer to the question, did God create evil?
All right, let's try to get a handle on this thing. If God is all good and he's all powerful and he's all loving, when he created, he would only create something good. Okay? And we're saying that evil is real. Did God create evil?
A good question. If God created everything and evil is something, it would look like God created evil. So we're in a painful dilemma. If we deny the first premise that God created everything, then we're not really Christians. We're dualists that believe that good and evil are eternal or something. If we deny the second premise, it would look like we're pantheists, that we don't believe that evil is real. So the dilemma is real for a Christian. If God created everything and evil is something, and God created evil, but the Bible says God cannot even look on evil, Habakkuk 1:13. He's so pure. Holy, 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 the angels sing. So what do we do?
All right. Well, that is the question. How do you handle it?
Well, St. Augustine struggled with this way back in the 400s. He was part of a Manichaean cult where they believed that evil and good were both eternal. And he struggled with it until he came to a conclusion that evil is a privation. It's a lack in something. Evil doesn't exist in itself. It's like a parasite. It exists in something else. For example, evil is like rust to a car. You have to have iron to have rust. So you have to have something good for evil to exist in it. It's like a wound in an arm. You can't have a wound unless you have an arm or a leg or something to have a wound in. Evil is like rot to a tree. You have to have a tree before you can have rot in it. So evil doesn't exist in itself, it only exists in something else. So the answer is, God created everything, and everything he created was good, and so God created every good thing, but evil came and corrupted those good things. He didn't create the corruption, he created the uncorrupted thing that the corruption later came to.
Yeah, let's slow that down for people, because let's say that in one sense we're saying that evil is real, but it's not a thing. So that's hard for them to get a handle on, and let's slow that down. The fact is that when God made a perfect man, okay, he also gave him choice. And this is where the possibility comes in for evil taking place. Take it from there.
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to say, John, is that a privation is the lack in something. It's an absence of something that ought to be there. It's not nothing. It's real. For example, it's real to be blind, but blindness is a privation of sight. It's a lack of sight. It's real to be maimed. Tie your arm behind your back and walk around for a day, and you'll say, well, that's a real handicap. Or close your eyes and walk around for a day, and you'll say, blindness is real. So evil is real, but it's a real lack in something that ought to be there. Then the question is, well, how did that lack get there? And that answer is, I think, free choice. God made us free creatures. Freedom makes evil possible. God made us perfectly good. He made us with the capacity to choose. We are the ones who brought evil in.
Yeah, I like going back to the privation, the lack. You use the word parasite. And I think that that helps us. You also have an illustration where you talk about, you know, a blind man and a rock, they're both, they can't see. But the blindness in the man, he's lacking something that should be there. Okay? The rock doesn't have it, but it shouldn't be there. So the fact is that this thing that should be there, which is lacking, that's the privation. And that's what you're saying this evil is that you had a perfectly good creature. All the stuff that should be there was there. Okay?
I want to try to unpack this for you just a little bit. The rust on the car is a good illustration. You have to have a car in order to have the rust. So goodness exists. God says everything he created was good. He said that on the conclusion of everything he created, Genesis chapter 1. Everything he saw, he pronounced it was good. So when you have evil, evil is not a substance. It's a lack of something. It's the lack of goodness in a perfect universe. It's like rust to a car. It's like a parasite. It's like a wound on a body. It's like blindness instead of eyesight. So it's a privation of the good. So evil is the result of, as Norman was pointing out, freedom. The freedom, the ability to choose comes into play here. And this is an important concept that he is going to amplify on here. How does free will make the possibility for evil? Let's listen.
All right, there's a couple questions right there, but let's start with a statement that you made in your book. God made evil possible via free will, which is good, okay? But free creatures made evil actual. All right? Question is, if a free creature is perfect, okay, what's even motivating him to choose evil, because there's nothing in him to start with that is evil because he was made perfect?
It's a good question. It's like asking who made God. No one made God. He was always there. What caused Lucifer to sin? No one caused him to sin. He was the cause of it. So you can't ask what's the cause of God since he's the first cause, and you can't ask what caused Lucifer to sin because he was the first cause. So it's what we call a category mistake. It's like asking where was the man when he jumped off the bridge? Say he was in the air. No, that was after he jumped. You say he was on a bridge. No, that was before he jumped. Where was he when he jumped off the bridge? Well, see, it's a category mistake because jumping is a process. So you can't ask a pinpoint location of a process activity, and you can't ask who made the one who made it, because the one who made it is the one who caused it, and Lucifer caused the first sin, Adam caused the first sin among human beings, and so their free will was the first cause of sin, and the cause of the first cause.
Yeah, I think that the hairy aspect of this, the important aspect, if I could put it that way, is that freedom all of a sudden comes with a ton of responsibility. Because what we're saying is that God gave us freedom, which is a good thing. But boy, I tell you, if you misuse that freedom, which we have done, the consequences are off the charts. Talk about some of the consequences that came, and maybe run through the choices. In other words, in Adam, the first man, how did this free creature who is perfect, you know, Augustine had a kind of neat way of talking about it. Run through that for the people. Keep it slow so we can understand here.
Well, basically, they had two choices. They could either go their way or God's way. God freely created them. He gave them freedom. Now, if they really have freedom, they can love him or hate him. They can worship him or blaspheme him. So what was the first sin? The first sin was the choice to choose the lesser good of my will over the greater good of God's will. So it wasn't a choice of evil. It was an evil choice. There was no evil to choose because there was God and there were all his perfect creatures and there was no evil in the environment. There was no evil around them. There was no evil within them. So what their choice was the choice to go their way rather than God's way, to will the lesser good of the creature over the greater good of the Creator. That's how evil entered the world, when a good creature, using a good thing called free will, willed a lesser good over the greater good.
I realize that this can become a little bit difficult to follow, but let me try to explain. Adam and Eve were created perfect, righteous, and good. There was no evil in them. Yet they used their freedom to either love or hate God, and they chose their will over God's will, which is an evil choice. So it comes down to the use of freedom, and this has consequences. It has a ripple effect all over the world. And so we can see that in order for God to create man, to have a relationship with man, he had to create man in such a way that they could make choices. He said, you can freely eat of all the trees in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it was clearly laid out to them what they could and could not do. It was a test of allegiance. And man created, or I should say, willed to choose their way instead of God's way, which brought the curse, which brought sin, which introduced sin, corruption, and evil into the world. And so the cause of evil comes not down to God, but to man. But man can only do what is in his own choice because he had a thing called free will. So free will has consequences. Without free will, we would have been programmed to love and to choose, but not out of freedom. We have to have freedom for the possibility of choices, and with the misuse of our freedom, that is when evil comes into the picture. So he comes down to the misuse of something called free will. Theodicy, it's called, and this is bringing sin into the world. Now, God has worked through this sin and choice, and he's bringing about a greater good out of our choices. He is using evil to accomplish his purposes, but God hates evil. He will defeat evil, and one day there will be no sin, there will be no suffering, no pain, no death, Revelation chapter 21. That is a time that is going to come in the future. So we see that God allows evil for his purposes, his glory. He works through our freedom and our choices to bring about a greater good. And so this is why God allows so much evil and suffering. We are the ones that make the choices. We are the ones given the freedom. And that brings me to a question that is often asked along this topic. And it's one of the hardest questions to answer, and yet it is important. Speaking on the subject of evil and suffering, why would a good and all-powerful God allow the Holocaust? Well, and when you're dealing with the problem of evil in the world, we run into this question very often. Could God have prevented this horrible genocide? And the answer is yes, he could have. But he could have also prevented Stalin's massacres in the USSR. He could have stopped the Spanish Inquisition's torture of dissidents. And he could have prevented Nero's reign of terror. In each case that I just spoke of, God allowed evil men to exercise a certain amount of power for a short period of time. That's important. And I have to confess to you, ultimately, we cannot know the reasons for what God allows. His ways and thoughts are infinitely higher than ours, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9 says. His sovereign plan takes in the whole scope of history. That's past, that's present, that's future. His plan encompasses every possible course of action, every cause and effect, every potentiality, and every contingency. So there is no way we could possibly fathom the intricacies of his design. By faith, we must trust that his plan is the best plan possible for restoring fallen humanity and a cursed world again to righteousness and blessing. But we can understand this in answering the question of why did God allow the Holocaust. God's permission or his allowing of something is not the same of his is not the same as his approval. God allowed Adam to eat of the forbidden tree, but he did not approve of the action. There's a difference. In the same way, God's allowing the Holocaust in no way suggests his approval of it. God is grieved by the sinfulness of men and the hardness of man's heart. We also know that God has done everything possible to redeem us from the sin which would destroy us. He gave his only son who sacrificed his life for our sin. He took our penalty. So all who turn to Jesus in faith are saved. the sin in this world and horrors such as the Holocaust are a direct result of mankind's continued rebellion against God. While nothing can certainly justify the Holocaust, we do see at least one good thing which came from World War II. Israel now exists as a nation. There was somehow a silver lining in all of this horror. The Holocaust was a primary reason the White Paper of 1939 was rescinded, freeing Jews to immigrate to Israel. The fact that, as of 1948, the Jews have a restored national identity, it helps to fulfill the biblical prophecies we find in Ezekiel 37 and Matthew 24. Defeating Nazism and giving the land back to the Jews is a classic example of God thwarting Satan's plan and bringing about good in spite of the evil. In his doings, God is just and righteous and holy. So the blame of the Holocaust lies squarely on the shoulders of sinful humanity. The Holocaust was the product of sinful choices made by sinful men in rebellion against the holy God. If the Holocaust proves anything, it is the utter depravity of man. Just 14 years after the war to end all wars, World War I, Hitler rose to power. What is even more shocking is that millions followed him, enabling his horrific policies and pursuing a path to national destruction. And while Nazism took hold in Germany, where were the European churches? Some, it is true, stood fast against the evil in the midst, and such pastors, such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, paid the ultimate price for dissenting. They were just the minority. Most churches of the era acquiesced to the Nazi Party rules and remained silent while the Jews were slaughtered. Where were the church leaders? Other than England's Winston Churchill, the world's politicals took the route of isolation or appeasement. Neither worked. Where were the good, decent people? Edmund Burke is often quoted as saying, quote, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph in the world is for enough good men to do nothing," close quote. Although there were a few Germans and other Europeans such as Oskar Schindler, Corrie ten Boom and her family who risked their lives to save thousands of Jews from annihilation, most remained silent and the Holocaust endured. So the question in all of that is not so much why did God allow the Holocaust, but why did we? That's the question. God gives mankind freedom of choice. We can choose to follow him and take a standard for righteousness, or we can choose to rebel against him and pursue evil. The problem resides in the heart of man. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" All of this is until man's heart turns to God. The world will continue to witness ethnic cleansings, genocides, and atrocities such as the Holocaust. I realize that this is a lot for you to think about and to consider, but I'm trying to look at this objectively, biblically, rationally. And the problem never, ever lies in the plan and purpose of God. The problem lies in you and me. And when oftentimes people who want to mock God or Christianity and are not interested in learning truth and seeking, they will use the example of the Holocaust to say, well, then there cannot be a God at all to allow that kind of evil. But we would never have the concept of evil unless we first had the concept of good. And we would never have a standard to judge between good and evil unless there was a good, perfect, just, and holy God. And sometimes the question needs to be asked, why did we allow the Holocaust? That would be an answer. Look at the many that remain silent. So oftentimes we want to blame God, but where is our responsibility? Why were we so silent? Why were we so afraid to step forward and save these Jews from a genocide that they experienced? And so the question seems to be, why did God, when it should be, why did we? We've looked this morning closely at this difficult topic. All of us suffer. All of us face trials and tribulations in the world. All of us have questions. But the answer to every one of them is found in Christ. God sent Jesus to deal with our sin and our evil. He sent Christ to reconcile us to himself. And when we call upon Christ, our evil, hardened hearts are softened. We're given a new heart and a new spirit. And so God has already taken the first step against the problem of evil by sending his only Son to die in our place and to deal with the evil in our hearts and reconcile sinful, rebellious mankind to himself. And there is a day coming when Satan and all of the false prophets, the Antichrist, will be cast in an eternal lake of fire. And then there will be righteousness, a new heaven, a new earth, no more sin, death, or suffering. So God has a plan to bring the greatest good out of the evil that we have brought upon ourselves and all of mankind through our choices. Choice seems to be the operative word when we look at this problem. And again, remember on my first program, I talked about why does God allow evil? Evil exists because we have a choice to make. And if we didn't have a choice to make, we could not love God out of choice, but out of duty, like being programmed. And that's not the way that God chose mankind. And so because of freedom to choose and because of free will, this is the result, and the consequence is rebellion. There is evil, but when we live in a way to please God, there is freedom, there is righteousness, there is goodness. And so God is going to work all of this out, and in the end, we will glorify him and praise him for how he chose to take sinful mankind, save him, and redeem and restore the universe. Evil will never win in the end, but only God's truth and righteousness will prevail. I hope in some way that I've helped answer some difficult questions for you this morning. As always, feel free to share this podcast, think through it, and I hope and pray that you will come to the truth one day and find your hope and freedom in Jesus. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.